dbkmediaservices.com.
You are listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs, John Bruce, and Bruce Knox. Welcome in, everybody, to show 257 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I'm Bruce Knox, one of your three hosts for this show. This is our fourth show of Season 9, brought to you, as each and every one of the 257 have been, by Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They're located on the web at TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com, located geographically at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Bridge Street, just behind the Hampton Inn. And they are open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. You can call them 740-773-7529. Triple Crown Family Fun Center, all kinds of fun under one roof. Our billboard sponsor for this and the entire season. Like to bring in our two sports gurus for the SVC. First of all, John Bruce, how are you this evening? I guess it is.
I'm fantastic. I saw a very scary movie today, so I will probably not sleep or be around balloons for the rest of my life.
That clown movie that was out? I saw that.
It was really good. Not real big on that. Clown stuff.
Yeah, well, clowns are weird anyway, I guess. But I just don't understand you folks that go to scary movies, pay good money to not enjoy a little bit of time and then come out of it and say, oh, that was wonderful. I just don't understand that. But that's John Bruce for you folks.
That's right.
Yep. And of course, Mr. Shane Combs is standing over there. How are you, Shane?
Oh, I'm busy. No movies this afternoon for me, but was able to check a lot of boxes, and it's always good to take a deep breath and come into the website studio and talk a little SVC sports. Ready to go.
Well, we've got lots of stuff to talk about. Go ahead.
Well, I was just looking down the agenda here. I always like to give a shout out to our sponsors, because obviously we know this wouldn't be possible without them. Looking through the agenda tonight, we have Crown Hill Golf Club, as always, and their incredible support, and Kevin and everything that he does up there with Crown Hill Golf Club. We're going to talk some golf. Schedule gets really crazy this week. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you why it's go time for Piketon. We're going to talk a little Westfall girls preparing for the second season. I'm going to lean on John a little bit for a soccer question. I'm even going to throw a little bonus tennis that's not Sylvia Gray and Uniota, but something a little bonus for the area. Good. So a nice little tease. And so again, we'll have Bruce give a shout out again to Crown Hill Golf Club later in the show. Also have Bruce give a shout out to North Fork Animal Clinic. Appreciate all that they do. North Fork Animal Clinic will be there at their football section. Kind of had an interesting question on Twitter that I still, over the weekend, John, have changed my mind on two or three times. We had the whole forfeit twist, and then we'll look ahead to week three. But I know you and I split up Friday night, got a chance to watch some football Saturday. Good time. So a lot going on there. So that'll be our North Fork Animal Clinic. And then Advanced Services, certainly always want to give shout outs to them. Really appreciate them coming on board. Advanced Services, great support. We'll have them with our volleyball segment. I want to revisit, Bruce, last week's factors a little bit. Mm-hmm. I really watched matches this week with those things in mind. And I'll tell you, those were really well put together by the email last week. And through all this sense of chaos, I call it, in the league this year, I just think I'd be good. So, again, that'll be Advanced Services. So, obviously, with Crown Hill Golf Club, North Fork Animal Clinic, and Advanced Services, appreciate it. That just kind of gives you a rundown of what I had in mind. John, yeah. I don't really care what order we go in. I know last week you kind of got us going in the right direction. Now, out of all of that, that you're looking at your notes there, where do you want to start this week?
I think it was a pretty interesting weekend in football. So, let's go to football.
Sounds good.
All right, guys, we'll do football then. It's kind of a tough week in some fashion and within the SVC. But the question is, did the SVC have a more successful week in week two than in week one?
And as Shane mentioned, our football section going to be brought to us by North Fork Animal Clinic. Dr. Blake Lloyd and his staff, located at 2260 Anderson Station Road in Chillicothe. You can look all their detailed information on NorthForkAnimalClinic.com or give them a call, 740-773-7387. North Fork Animal Clinic, boarding and grooming. Well, guys, as luck would have it, you know, the viewership, listenership, I guess it should be listenership, was really into it last week because of, I think, our new segment. So as we get into football, we kind of want to bring back something we did for the first time last year or last week, because we feel it's our job to keep our audiences fully informed, because Shane Combs and John Bruce have been known to consume various and sundry delectable treats while supposedly observing SVC sports events. And furthermore, because the Cleveland Browns continue to disappoint the Cleveland faithful, we pride ourselves in bringing you the following segment, unsponsored though it may be at this time, SVC Sports Talks Eat It.
Just eat it.
And as we did last week, we're stealing our rating system from John Corby and WTVN, his producer Joe Bradley, when they used to do the I can't remember what they called it, but they did have the belly ratings. And so I leaned on Shane and John to not disclose on Friday or Saturday nights what they went out to and what they consumed in the games Friday and Saturday nights in the delectable department. So, gentlemen, I'm going to go to Shane first. Shane, what was it for you Friday night? Let's go Friday night first, because I know you took in at least two games, Friday night and Saturday night. You were both at the Saturday night game, if I'm not mistaken. So what was it Friday night?
Well, Friday night, John and I split up. I was at Southeastern, and and I had not had dinner yet, so I was going more with the meal. So I had a lot of different things going on. I may or may not have made a couple trips to the concession stand. But I think over the overall night, I would have to go with the Panther Brat.
Panther Brat. Okay.
I might be adding in that panther there. That's what I would recommend to the Southeastern booster, is to put a panther in front of that and to go ahead and own their brat. But it was pretty good. Pretty tasty. Out of the two or three things I had that night, I'd have to certainly say that the panther brat would go at the top of my list.
Okay, so on a scale of 1 to 5 bellies, you give the panther brat how many bellies?
I would probably go with a solid 4. I think it'd be unfair to go under a 4. Okay. Not quite a 4.5 or 5, but it was solid. Certainly wouldn't disappoint you if you went ahead and your next trip to Southeastern and tried your bra.
Okay, John, quickly, on your Friday night, what did you consume?
I went with just a simple hamburger from Piketon.
Okay.
I would give it 4 bellies.
Okay.
It does what it needs to do. now, of course, I'm extraordinarily picky. So I'm sure if you added more delectable toppings,
such as mustard.
You shouldn't do that.
Okay.
But if you add more toppings, possibly it could go higher. I also I was pleased with the quick service, so I appreciated that as well. We'll see what I do this week, okay, possibly with being more adventurous, but I don't think you can go wrong with the just simple hamburger down at Piketon.
Okay, to you, something adventurous is probably macaroni and cheese. Okay, quickly, gentlemen, on Saturday night, I know you were out, I believe, at Westfall. Is that correct?
It is, and again, really, really enjoyed meeting a lot of Westfall people. John's quite the legendary name up there. He was able to introduce me to a lot of people, and he was big time in a little bit on me, but he was able to introduce me to a lot of people, and super, super people up there. They support their kids, and you know, they were real thankful of the show, and that's always gratifying to hear. And John, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we agreed that the thing French fries there that we tried after the half at the separate booth ended up probably making the cut. We did have a little ketchup on the side, But I thought the French fries, Bruce, and again, I would say a solid four. I might even be able to stretch those to 4.5. They were pretty tasty.
Okay, four and a half. Go ahead, John.
I like the price of them, too.
Okay.
I mean, I thought that was something that you could have possibly extended to a $5 or $6 mm-hmm. if you really wanted to, but only $3, really affordable and pretty good.
Did you have the malt vinegar? Yeah. Was that included?
No, I don't know if that was an option or not. Again, as I've said on many weeks, I'm the first to admit I'm a little basic when it comes to my food.
Well, you both are, I think.
Just keep it simple. Okay. Just keep it simple.
So is that a consolidated pick there, John? Are you going to go with the French fries there at Westfall as well?
Yes, okay. That would be what I would go with.
All right. Well, guys, appreciate that. I'm starting to build a library here of what we've rated, and so far. I think PV's fried fish sandwich was given a 4.5 to 5 bellies last week. And so that ranks right up there. And I did see somebody tweeted out, I think it was Friday night. I was just looking for it here, but I don't see it now. Somebody suggested another delicacy at Southeastern. But we'll try to include that. So if you've got something, use the hashtag SVC Sports Talk and then hashtag eat it. And we may include your picks as well, or mention of those picks, depending on how much time we've got here. So appreciate that. Okay, guys. Shane, you mentioned earlier that you had a tweet where you sent it out there and you wanted to kind of discuss both sides of the debate. And the tweet was, after a 5-3 week one, we have the 2 wins, 1 forfeit, you said in there. But am I wrong to feel better about the way our league played tonight? Now, this was, I think, after Friday night. You wrote, Southeastern dominates and PV, Uniotto, and Zane Trace all play elite teams and competed for 3 quarters. Then Huntington also gets a win, and Piketon posted 22 points. What are your thoughts? Hashtag SVC Sports Talk. That was the tweet that went out on Friday night. You want to take it from there and explain how it may have changed a little bit, too?
Well, yeah, when I read it back and then as I listen to it, I guess it's one of those where you're trying to stick a lot in one tweet. I probably didn't clarify there a little bit. I guess the forfeit would actually give us the third win.
Right.
And then – you know, not knowing what Westfall had done at that point, Westfall obviously went on to make it a 4-4 week. So, you know, on paper, from 5-3 to 4-4, it doesn't seem like much. But I guess there's two schools of thought. I want to throw this out here, John, to start the discussion. Number one, you play better, get better. You hear that all the time, right? You got to play better competition to get better. And our league is taking that next step in the playoffs is their goal. You know, we've had a lot of people – or a lot of teams, I should say, make the playoffs here multiple years and in recent years, and they're trying to get better and take that next step. Now, the other part of it is you have to win. Number two, I would say you have to win. High school football is about points. And the SVC weeks 4-10, the schedule is set, but I think a lot of times you look at those first 3 weeks and some of the league, you have, you know, some leagues have 4 or 5 of those to choose from. Independent schools focus on the entire year. So what is the best thing? And I guess you can't argue with number one. The coach in me knows this is true. You know, baseball, basketball can hurt your seeding, but you're always going to get a chance to go to the tournament. Where football, it's tricky because, you know, if you're not careful, you don't even get in. It doesn't matter if you can compete in the playoffs because you may not get in. Now, I think Paint Valley is a good example of that number one. They're a team that has been to the playoffs. They've won leagues. They've won gold balls. You know, they're trying to get to that next level. Maybe their tradition can handle losing a game or two, especially when it's against a pleasant type of opponent. The community will still be there and so forth. But I just wonder, maybe the smaller schools, John, can get away with this. A 7-3, 8-2, Southeastern or a Dean is probably getting in. Whereas some of your bigger schools, they maybe not get the support or the points from the league because they're a little bit bigger. Maybe it's not the best situation. I guess my question is, when you start judging a successful season, you're not sure if it's going to make for a good record or whatnot. I'm always I guess I've been stuck in the middle all weekend because the competitor in me totally understands the play better, get better, but I also understand you basically get 10 weeks. 3 of them are kind of on the contracts outside of the league, so at the end of the day, you really need to win. Kind of help me sort this out here. What are you thinking when you see the tweet that I put out there and you're analyzing week one to week two? Because, man, I felt like those three schools that I mentioned played really good opponents, competed for about three quarters, but at the end of the night, you're 0-1 in that week.
Right. Well, see, with Uniota, they competed for pretty much 3.5 quarters, and then a turnover, you know, comes back and bites them, and then Amanda goes down and scores immediately and kind of extends the lead. Zane Trace really hung around with Waverly, and then Waverly kind of exploded, and kind of the same thing with Paint Valley and Pleasant. I think it helps those teams to play better teams, but like you mentioned, to get in the playoffs, you got to win some games. So I think you do need to play better teams. Maybe temper that a little bit. I do like that Uniota went away from what had been kind of an easy week two for them for the last few years to go to a little more or go to a much more difficult Amanda game. But at the same time, they're going to need all the wins they can get this year to get into the playoffs, especially being Division III. But when I looked at your tweet, I kind of assumed that Huntington was already done at that point. Before, like, the original tweet, and then all of a sudden I see it, like, 11 after 700 points are scored in the game that Huntington ends up coming back and winning. So, I mean, that was awesome. I'm obviously very impressed with Southeastern's win after seeing Vinton County kind of push around Uniota the week before. And I think we were both pretty pleasantly surprised by Westfall last night.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think it was a better week than in week one, because a couple of the week one games were kind of, you knew the SEC schools were going to win, and I didn't really think that the league was going to do that well this week. And to go 4-4 and compete in three of the other four games, really good.
Yeah, guys, it amazes me how many fans just kind of look at the win-loss column. You know, we live in such a final results society that, you know, where they don't really – maybe they don't appreciate the game or know the game, or they might not even mean anything by it. They just don't really follow the game closely enough. I was amazed how many people Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon being out and about, and then at the game Saturday night, even a couple people up at Westfall asked me, hey, what happened to Paint Valley last night? What happened to Uniota? And I'm thinking a little bit to myself, you know, what do you mean what happened to them? You know what I mean? Like, Paint Valley played a state powerhouse and stuck their nose in for 3.5 quarters and just came up a little short, and it got away from Uniota. Man, I've been around Uniota for a long, long time. If you'd have told me anywhere in the last 20 years that Uniota football's program would ever play Amanda in football, I'd ask you why. And if you'd have told me they would play Amanda football in like a competitive setting, I would say you're crazy. You see what I'm saying? So that mm-hmm. in itself shows you how far this program's come. So when I see a Zane Trace go toe-to-toe with Waverly in spurts, it's encouraging. I think that at the end of the day, it from a computer point standpoint, you do lose. And I think a lot of times I've always said, if you go 3-0 in the non-league, you can lose for the next month before you drop below 500. You know, you go 2-5 in the league and go 500 on the year. So if you're one of the – and I'm not saying that's what the Uniotas and Paint Valley should do or the Adinas should do. I'm saying that, like, for some of the programs that have struggled over the years, those first 3 weeks are very, very important in terms of giving your kids and your program, you know, a realistic opportunity to be successful. So, gosh, it's incredible how important the AD and the coaches – and the overall knowledge of what's going on, being on the same page. But it's important, because I know a lot of times you're judged by your record. I'll walk down the hallway in the spring, someone that has no idea about baseball at all, and they'll be like, hey, coach, how's your record? And if I can tell them 7-1 instead of 2-5 or 6, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a big deal. Now, we might have beaten, who knows, some terrible school in a doubleheader over the weekend to improve to 6-1, or we might have lost, you know, to Upper Arlington or Hilliard Darby in extra innings. They don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think that's where, again, you have to know your program, know what's best for it, and know that you're doing the right thing to grow your program and not everybody is gonna catch on to that. I thought it was a good question to ask, and I really thought some of the feedback was interesting, and I appreciate that.
Shane, you mentioned Friday night you took in the Vinton County Southeastern game. What were your thoughts after watching that?
Wow, and just I kept coming back to the word impressive. I was trying to pick out a weakness, and there just wasn't much there. I just thought, you know, Nusser runs really hard. I think I even tweeted out the one time Ruby might not be human.
Yeah.
I was impressed with what Hill was giving them on both sides of the ball. He's kind of an extra weapon. The line play on both sides, I'd heard so much about Vinton County's line, and rightfully so based on the Unietta performance, but I really thought Southeastern controlled the trenches. And let's just go with this. I had a chance to talk to both Coach Gallagher and Lane Ruby. Bruce, why don't we go with the Lane Ruby interview first? Do you have that there?
I sure do. Here we go.
Well, first of all, congratulations. Really impressive and really every aspect of the game tonight. You know, I tweeted out earlier that, you know, how hard Mikey runs. And obviously, at one point I said you may not be human, but talk to me about your offensive line and the job that they did. I thought the offensive and defensive line that first half really set a tone.
Oh, hey, they're tremendous. They open up wide holes, I mean, for our running backs to run through. I mean, that's really all we do. We get the ball and we just go straight through the holes. But our defensive line really stepped it up this game. Their run game was pretty good when we were looking out on film. Their run game was pretty good. But our defensive line did a good job of, stalemating their offensive line, not letting them get upfield. And then, again, our offensive line opened up holes for us to run through.
Well, I'll tell you the other thing that really sticks out is I watched your team grow over the last couple of years. Obviously, you've had some key guys graduate. You bring some guys back and you reload. This team seems to play with a real confidence. Just kind of watching you guys through pregame tonight and the way you started in the first quarter, just a real good focus, real good mentality. Talk to me about the leadership on the team and what you – just kind of how it feels coming out of locker room ready to play tonight.
We have a great senior class. There's about 10 of us that are tremendous leaders. We get out there. We show we're vocal leaders, and we lead by example. I think the young kids follow us, and we have a lot of good guys on our team that really – it just comes together naturally. It's just a good atmosphere.
Well, the last question, I mean, you have one more week to get tuned up for the SVC. And, you know, obviously people like me and sports people will sit out there and talk and we'll look ahead of the schedule. We'll do this, this, and this. Obviously your job and coach's job is to get focused for, you know, Monday's practice. You've been through so many of these now and you've had great success throughout your career. As a leader, what's the mentality coming into Monday to make sure people don't get too excited and start looking ahead and just staying in the present and one game at a time?
0-0. We say that after every game. We said that. After our Northwest win, we said after this one, coach keeps us humble, 0-0. That's how we start practice. We break on 0-0, and really throughout the whole week, we want to go 1-0. And now we're just focused on that one team on Friday.
Good stuff, Abe. It's always a treat to watch you compete. I love how hard you play, and best of luck the rest of the year.
Thank you.
Again, that's Lane Ruby of South. And Bruce, I think, to make the point, I think we'll go here in a second to Coach Gallagher's interview, because I think what happens is, like all great leaders, John, you'll hear almost a connection between the view of the head coach and your senior leader. And gosh, a quick comment on Lane Ruby. If you're a sports fan and you haven't had a chance to see him play in person, don't cheat yourself. You know, go and watch. I mean, what a gifted athlete. And talking to him the other night, a really good leader, just a really neat kid to get to know there in that short interview. Really a really gifted athlete, special talent. And again, in the leadership aspect here, Bruce, if you want to go ahead and play the Coach Gallagher, I think you'll hear a lot of the same things that he was echoing there from his head coach.
Well, Coach, first of all, congratulations. I was just telling Lane, there's just something about the focus tonight. I really liked how your team came out of the locker room, the way they warmed up. You started, you had to be real pleased with the focus and how hard your kids play.
Well, that's one of the things we worked on this week. You know, last year we lost a close ball game 21-20. We felt like we turned the ball over a few times. We committed some penalties last year that really put us behind the eight ball. And, you know, I told him after the game, we've put two good halves of football together. Second half against Northwest was a good half for us. And that first half, we came out here against Vinton County. But we really haven't put a full game together yet. So, you know, there's still a lot to work on in this young season. But our guys came out determined, playing together. And you know, that's the big thing in football, is playing as a team. And, you know, we're not one guy strong at Southeastern, you know. And that's kind of what we fed our kids full of that all week. You know, it's not one guy. It's not two guys. It's all 11 of us. And I think that kind of showed tonight.
It's funny you said that. I was tweeting at one point during the game how hard Mikey runs. And I said, Delane may not be human. I said, but this offensive and defensive line just completely took the game over in the first half. Again, give a shout out to those guys up front and the job they're doing.
I mean, we talked about them last week in the radio and things like that. They're not the biggest guys. You know, they're not going to be, I think we were size wise a little bit outmatched that last week. And this week they were a little bit bigger than us. But I'll tell you what, I feel like we're pretty quick up front. And those guys really, to hold a good Vinton County team down to, you know, not let them get in the end zone, is a testament to that front seven. You know, Tanner Chenault and Jaron Ford and Alan Mead and Nathan Howard, those guys on the front line. And then we had some subs that came in there quite a few times, and Skyler Graves and, you know, Coonrod did a really good job and let our linebackers stay free, let them flow and let them, you know, fill in the holes and make plays.
All right, now I've got to ask you this before we get out of here.
Yeah.
Right? So if you and I were working together back in the day, we're sitting around talking, you know, I'm a sports fan. And I was a coach myself. I know this kind of question drive you nuts. But if you and I were sitting around talking, we'd sit there, we'd look at schedules, and we'd start talking about, oh, this team can do this, and this. How do you get your kids to block all of that out and just focus on week three and the next opponent ahead?
We're always the underdogs. End of story. We're always the underdogs, and that's great for us. We like it that way.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's incredible what you've done out here. You know, I've always been a big fan of you, and just keep it going, and best luck to you.
Hey, we appreciate it. Thanks for the coverage.
Again, head coach Evan Gallagher, a good friend of mine. We worked together back at Paint Valley, and as he's moved on to Southeastern, just been so happy for him and what he's done. I'll tell you what, guys, when you watch them play, no matter who they play, if they just simply take care of themselves, they're so unique in what they do in their identity, and they avoid the penalties. Their ball handling is solid, but they don't put it on the ground. And they get that field position where all of a sudden they get four down territory. They steal a couple possessions. If you turn it over like the other night, you know, Vinton County giving up a couple possessions, or you don't recover a couple of their kicks and some of the different things they do, what they'll do is they'll just start stealing possessions, and they'll grind out back-to-back possessions where you'll go entire quarters maybe at times, John, like 45 minutes to an hour of real time without the football in your hand. And it's impressive. I just I really appreciated Lane and Coach Gallagher giving us some time there after the game Friday night. And, John, on that note, I guess I wanted to go over to you on Friday night. You were down at Piketon a little bit. I was kind of anxious to get some feedback. I know Wellston, you could tell from their week one score, was going to be really, really good. But just your take on Piketon, the young quarterback Gallion there, and some of the things that you kind of take away from the trip to the new facility there.
Well, first of all, the new facility's gorgeous. It looks great. The bleachers are really good. I can't wait to see how it looks when they get finished with the entire project, because I believe the locker rooms still aren't done. They're probably still going to put some more restrooms and such in, but it looks great right now. Hospitality down there is really good, so that obviously was really good. Now, I really liked Levi Gullion's poise in the pocket. He was under constant pressure in the entire first half, which kind of really put the streaks behind the eight ball, and he wasn't able to get fully comfortable, but he didn't look rattled. You know, maybe throws were going a little high, but it wasn't because he was bailing out. It was just throws going high. I thought overall he did a good job carrying himself. You could just tell that he's a leader. Mm-hmm. And as a sophomore, that's really good to have. And obviously a coach's son, he's probably got some leadership in him. But, you know, I really liked their ability to run the ball off of the pass. Also, in the second half, they played their first team most of the time, really got some things going. Austin Henderson had a really good game both ways, really, really runs hard. Sammy Savage, I was told before the game, Sammy Savage wears number one Verwijten. He played guard last year for them. If you saw him and saw that he played guard last year, you might be like, man, he's either cut down a lot, or he was a really undersized guard. But man, that kid runs hard. He's super shifty. Really fun to watch him in the open field. He broke off a 77-yard run that helped set up a field goal for him, which Jorge Del Rio, exchange student kicker for them. Man, that kid's got some energy. he had a couple plays where I think he was the first one down on kickoffs because he just wanted to get out and go. Wellston was a better team. They had a pick six right before the half that was tipped at the line. That there's no play at all for Piketon just because the cornerback made a great read on it. A couple of different breaks here and there. Maybe it's more competitive in the first half. But I liked what Coach Gallion's team did offensively and what they were trying to do. So I do think their offense could give the league some big issues, you know, throughout the year. But also, Levi Gullion, only being a sophomore, he's got some good size to him. Really excited to see how much he grows as a player and passer and as a leader.
John, any other quick final thoughts on anything else SEC football?
I think this week's going to show us a lot with the league. Southeastern should win. We'll kind of see how good Huntington can be. You know, obviously Northwest, after they just beat McLean, probably is going to be a pretty tough opponent, but it'd be great for them to get another win. I know they beat them last year, so be a good moving forward for the Huntsmen. And, you know, we'll see Zane Trace. Kind of opened my eyes a little bit to how good Westfall probably is after how Logan Elm kind of put it on Zane Trace in week one. And then Westfall just kind of whipped Logan Elm all over the field last night. So I think it's big for them. They got a winnable game with McLean. It'd be big for them to get a win. I think we'll kind of see how the league's going to look moving forward. I think a really fun game to watch could be Washington Courthouse and Adena. Could be a lot of points in that game. Could a lot of athletes on the field. So that one will definitely be worth the price of admission. And obviously, I think Waverly and Unionetta will be a good test for both. And clearly, Paint Valley and Newark Catholic also.
Shane, any final thoughts on SVC football from you?
I do think it's exciting to take a look at the last tune up, so to speak, before league play in week three. Adena, you know, 2-0, and I was kind of happy that they got the forfeit win. You know, probably evens out. You know, I watched that matchup last year. I think it's a game Adena was going to win. You look at Huntington, the ability to score points. Seth Beeler had the big night. Dalton Halbaugh's been in the end zone multiple times both weeks. Darius Brown, Seth McCloskey the other night. So, you know, John just recapped Piketon, and I think when Huntington, Piketon type of teams, John, any night they have the ability to go out and just score 20-some points, it's kind of hard to get rid of them. You know what I mean? Like, I think they're going to struggle with some SVC opponents throughout the league play, but I just think they have enough offense where they're just going to constantly stick their nose in. And I think that's something to watch. And I can't say enough about Westfall. You know, John's already kind of talked about Southeastern and Paint Valley's big games coming up and so forth and opportunities. But Westfall the other night, everything was so quiet in the preseason. You know, they lose their quarterback there a little bit. The Lee Master kid jumps in. And, you know, the Madison Plain game, it is what it is. They obviously struggled offensively. It's not like they got blown out from the word go. It was 8-0 first quarter, 16-0 halftime. They just never could get any offense going. And then the other night is just the opposite. I think John would agree. Good line play. The skill kids, you get Whaley back in the mix because you got Lee Master and Blackburn and Davis and Hammonds and Moe. I mean, they really spread the wealth the other night. So that's probably the team to me that has been the most surprising thing I've seen so far, as that game the other night allowed us to now see everybody in the league in person. And just going to be an exciting year in the SVC because, as I've said before, if people are putting this West Fall Zane Trace in the 5-6 spot, and if they're putting offenses like Piketon and Huntington 7-8, that's a pretty competitive bottom half of the league. So we already know how good these top four teams are. Now all of a sudden these bottom four are going to be just kind of spoil alert every week, John, because you know, you take a night off, you're going to get beat.
Oh yeah, and I do think Westfall will go to 2-1 this week because they got a definitely winnable game with Circleville. So I didn't mean to leave them out in that little rundown I was doing, but like you're right, they had a lot of weapons, and once Whaley gets back, man, that's going to be a real tough offense to stop.
Sounds like week four, no later than week five. It looks like they could be back to full strength, man. They become dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, guys. Up next, we had a volleyball week that provided chaotic questions and answers from the top to the bottom in the SVC standings.
Swatching.
Our volleyball coverage is going to be brought to us by Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigerating. Advanced Services are on the web at advancedservicesHVAC.com. You can call them at 877-947-4499, or, of course, look them up on the web, and they are celebrating 20 years serving Southern Ohio. You can schedule a consultation today on the website, Advanced Services Heating, Cooling, and Refrigeration. Gentlemen, last week we listed six volleyball factors, and if I remember correctly, I think John kind of took the lead, had him rank them in importance from, I believe, least to first importance, and we had Shane kind of throw in his thoughts on some of those rankings. And this week, as Shane kind of teased earlier, we're gonna look at those factors again, and then we'll kind of ask Shane how he learned about those factors this past week in SVC volleyball. The factors were home court advantage, star performances, consistent rotations, setting position, serving, and injuries. So, Shane, given the topsy-turvy world of SVC volleyball, some you described it earlier as chaotic, what did you learn about some of those factors this week vis-a-vis volleyball?
It was really an interesting week for me because it helped me kind of watch in a different way. I really tried to concentrate on these particular things as I went out because I watched matches and then followed other matches that were teams that really were fighting for similar spots in the standings. So as I really started to break it down, I think the reason it was so hard to rank these last week, John, is because it really is a matter of what matchup you're watching. You'll find different factors are going to rank higher than in others. Take home court advantage for example. You know, it's certainly a factor. I mean, like if you watch, you know, Uniota play at Zane Trace, or if you watch them play at Westfall compared to them playing Edina at home, it certainly matters. Now, I don't know how much it mattered in, say, like the Paint Valley Piketon game I watched, or, you know, I'm not sure. It obviously didn't play a huge role in the Huntington Zane Trace match or so forth, but I think home court advantage does matter. I think we had it ranked properly, but to say Westfall doesn't have an advantage playing up there seven times, or, you know, Uniota, it's not easier on Uniota playing at home compared to some of the road atmospheres they're going to play in, I think that's wrong. I do think it matters some. Take serving, for example. I really watched that this week. I was watching a Paint Valley Piketon game, and by the way, congratulations to Paint Valley. 78 straight losses, I think, is what the website had that marked at. Since 2013, they beat Southeastern in straight sets to start the second round that year. They lost the rest of that year, then they lost five straight years, and they lost the first two this year. So them going, I'm so happy for these kids. Obviously, these kids haven't been a part of very much of that, but them able to get over the hump and get that out of the way, and so they can try to move forward as a program. But serving was a big part of that match, guys. Abby Stanforth with nine aces kind of took Piketon out of their system. Piketon was up 2-0 in that match. So kind of helped break some things. And then when I was looking at the Southeastern big win over Huntington, Audrey Scott had 7 aces. Skylar Heiss had 5. So again, you have some. I thought Uniota's serving played a factor. Adina missing some serves earlier. Adina served tough and really was hitting some good spots. I know Kara was able to hit some back corner spots against an aggressive 2-man serve receive for Uniota back there. And as the match went on, Adina maybe not hitting their spots as well. Uniota starting to serve a little tougher. That's one thing in terms of identity that I think Uniota could really start to add with this rotation this year is some more difficult serving and taking some of the size at the net of their opponents out of system. Yeah, then I would combine injuries and consistent rotation together. This is something that's starting to be a concern. I've said before, I can't remember a time where so many kids are playing. Even some of the Dale officials are having trouble keeping up with all of it. I think that, I've looked at some different things. I think last year we were looking at more night to night in the SVC, an average of right around 66 to say 69, maybe 70 players playing consistently. Not to say other kids didn't spot in. This year, we've pushed close to 77 to 80 different varsity players consistently playing in SVC matches. So it just gives you an idea of how much deeper into the roster some coaches are going and how that has rotations. Sometimes set to set, kind of some different changes and still trying to find maybe what works for them. And it got me thinking about different tweaks to rotations and so forth. And one that really jumped out at me was there at Uniota with Hallie Pinkerton. Now you're talking about one of the elite passers in the area. And obviously Uniota felt what was best for their team was to move some kids around. And sometimes when you do that, it's tough. So before I go any further, I'll tell you what, Bruce, I had a chance to run into Hallie out the other night after their big comeback win against Adina. Let's go ahead and play that. And then I'll comment a little further.
All right. Well, first, that was crazy. Congratulations.
Thank you.
This early in the year, I hate to use the term must win, but I mean, you've been around this league long enough to know you guys couldn't go to 1-3. Mm-hmm. So coming off the loss the other night, did you sense that coming into the night, or is it just another match, or could you kind of sense that, hey, we've got to get this one tonight?
We knew that we had to play our best and stay up the whole time. And every game's going to be a good game this year in the SVC. We're about even all throughout, I think. We just always have to be on our game every single time. There's no letting down, no easing off the gas pedal, like Natalie says. And we just know we have to show up and play every single game.
You guys are a weird group to figure out. You have a lot coming back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you lost some hitters and some different size at the net. You know, I kind of had an idea what I thought your identity would be coming into the year. Obviously, you go through a tough injury early in the year. You know, your identity is all over the place. And I've got to ask you about the position change. I mean, you're one of the elite passers in the entire Southeast District, but it's kind of something, you know, obviously your coach, who's been very successful, thinks it's what's best for the team. And you've obviously jumped right in, you know, like you expect a leader to. Just talk to me about the last week or so and what this has been like for you and what you think it could be moving forward.
It's definitely different not being in the back row all the time, being a libero. We tried a bunch of different rotations this year, and we're just trying to figure out what's best for us and what's best for the team. And I mean, I'm willing to do whatever I can to help us win. And we've moved some kids into some new different positions this year, and they've taken on the roles pretty well. Some freshmen coming up and stuff. And with Chris out, we had to bring even more people up. I haven't hit since 7th grade in the front row, so it's definitely a big change for us, the whole team and myself. But, I mean, you have to get used to it, and you just have to play your best, and it's still volleyball.
Well, and even though it's done maybe in a different way in terms of how you get back there and so forth, I know you guys use a lot of unique serve receives with you and Amber, and you know, so you still have yourself in the passing. And I thought in the 4th and 5th set tonight, the particularly in that area of the match, I thought your guys' defense and passing really picked up. Just talk to me about where you thought the match maybe turned back in your favor there late in the match in terms of momentum.
The first set we played pretty good. We played together and we were up. And then we just got kind of down and got in our comfort zone this next 2 sets when we lost. and we knew that we didn't want to lose, and especially in four sets. So we just came back and kept the energy up, energy high level, and just got it done.
Real quick, last question. I know you kind of took a pretty good knock the other night over at Zane Trace, and you missed a game. Everything good health-wise? You're doing
yes,
good?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, good luck. I'll see you down the road, and just, you're right, this league's going to be nuts. It'll be a lot of fun to watch.
Oh,
thanks.
Yes. Yep, thank you.
Okay.
Getting that senior Hallie Pinkerton, one of the real elite three sports stars in our league, and obviously an elite volleyball talent. And you know, John, as a coach, you always appreciate kids in time of adversity just stepping up and saying, "Yeah, coach, I'll do whatever you need me to do." And I think that's what you're going to get from kids like her. But you know, we've talked a lot about injuries and how sometimes injuries can force change, and sometimes changing on the fly can get into that consistent or inconsistent rotation. You know, Lexi Lockwood, you've heard me talk so much about, she comes back from Southeastern this week, and they start to play some pretty competitive volleyball against the Dean, and then they get over the hump and beat Huntington. I think, gosh, I don't have that in front of me. I want to say she had 40 digs, maybe close to it, in seven sets. So all of a sudden, that's a big deal, right?
Right.
You know, I mean, according to what you had before. I guess my question to you would be, I went through this in Paint Valley Baseball last year. So I can really relate to Coach Stolle. I can relate to Coach Hutton and what some of these other coaches are going through, where lost a very talented player, and then it's the domino effect. You start moving everybody around. This person has to go here and this person here. And, you know, I tried my best not to do it, but then you feel like you got to do what's best for the team. And we've really spent an offseason focusing on trying to stop this, you know, getting back to stability and saying, here's, no matter what, we're going to get this kid here and this kid here and this kid here. What – talk to people about what one injury can sometimes do to a team, and as a coach, how, you know, sometimes you have to try to sell different kids on different things.
Well, obviously you never want to deal with injuries, but they almost always happen in some way, maybe not every year, but every couple of years. You just really have to hope you have a kid like Hallie that will buy into filling the roles that are needed. And you know, it also is nice to have the depth to be able to do it. Now, you really need to sell kids on, you know, this is what we need to do to win. We need you to be here or here. Maybe we have someone that can play your normal position, but we don't have someone that can do this other position. And I know that you can do just as well at the new position as you did at the old position. And I think that's key to make sure kids know they're still being extremely valued when they return from injury, or, you know, if an injury happens, and that their value is greater to the team and being able to be able to play multiple positions.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well said, because I think sometimes you start to move people around, and then, you know, like I know in baseball, the ball will find different people, or in volleyball, you know, you'll run into certain positions, and it's easy to double second guess, you know, to double back and say, man, I wish I would have done this or this. But at the end of the day, you just have to go with your gut and go with it. And going back to your factors, Bruce, I guess I had the top couple things I thought, you know, I've played out a little bit. The setting position is still something that's hard to evaluate, because as I said, that we use some unique setting situations in our league. I think Alyssa Steele's done an outstanding job for Huntington in terms of understanding where the ball needs to go and getting the ball to those hitters. Dina kind of uses that unique setting situation with Derek. A little bit more of a traditional 6-2 look out of the back row. And then when Lovely comes to the front, more of a, I guess you call it a 4-2 style, where with the lefty in the front row, she's live there. And, you know, if you remember Lainey Shea there at Adina, that becomes a factor, especially if it's not well scouted, or if kids aren't well schooled on, you know, she's able to take that second ball over. It's certainly a factor. And I've seen Latham, I've seen Eldridge, I've seen a lot of important kids here. It's just a lot of, even in the 5-1s, they don't even go to true 5-1. You'll see kids asked to, you know, be in serve receive and then come up on the second volley over, or some setters are hitting outside and then moving into the setting position. There's just a lot of different movements going on that, you know, that the more unique they get, it's kind of affecting chemistry from some of the things I've seen. And I guess that's why I put last week, guys, the star performers. And I think, again, I could make a case for all of these, but when you see a Basie, Even throw in a steal with her, a Phillips, and throw in Williams. Josie Williams was terrific this week. And we just heard from Pinkerton. Cottrell was really good in that comeback. You know, I said I need my best players to play elite. And I think what happens is, please understand when I say this, when I talk about a Basie and I talk about the steals, please understand, I understand that Henneberger and Schoop and Hirsch and Morris are so, so valuable in what they're doing. When I talk about a Bennett or some of those kids from Zane Trace, I understand that Hell and Hill and Allen and Scott and May and McCalla, Farley, gosh, if I start naming them, I'll forget somebody, Crow, Harbor, Barry, you know, and then I watched Adina the other night. Here's an interesting situation. I mentioned Arif and Lovely. You have Carroll and Harper and Burns and Garrison and Martin and, you know, McKenna Lovely. Riley does a super job. Even Fogelsong giving him some things. And sometimes, John, you know that it's awesome to be balanced, but I thought there was a couple times where when they really needed a go-to point where maybe they weren't sure who to go to. You see what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. in basketball, you get that team that all five starters average between, say, like 8 and 12, and that's awesome. You know, I mean, who wouldn't love to share the ball? But sometimes right. what happens when the game's on the line, who can go get you one? And I think sometimes that maybe Zane Trace Adina are two types of teams where, you know, if Phillips in the front row and Westfall needs a point, I assume there's not much of a secret around the gym. Hey, where's the ball going to go? And that, there's importance in that. And I just think with Latham and Mollums and then Fleshman, Daniels, Young, some of these kids, Wolf, some of the passing that they're getting. So please understand that I am in no way taking away from what the role players are doing and the supporting cast are doing. It's just when you have a league with this type of parity, I just think that there's some value in the way the Stars play. And I saw where you tweeted that out, John, where you recognized that the other night. And I thought that was a good find on your part in terms of the way those kids certainly stepped up. I think it was the night where Basie had, what, 27 and Phillips had 23 maybe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I certainly don't want to cut you out of that conversation. When it comes to – you made a great point on the injuries there. Balance versus the go-to hitter. Anything there before we have before we move on from that you wanted to throw in there?
I'm not great at the volleyball stuff yet. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
So I mean the star power. You know, obviously, like I said in that tweet, you know, you were more spot on than I was because I think I was looking at the previous week, and I'm excited to see how this. Volleyball league keeps moving because it seems very balanced, but someone still will have to knock off Westfall because they're off to a great start.
But quickly, John, I do think this is something with your knowledge from all sports. When you talk mm-hmm. about forming an identity, I think we'd agree no matter what the sport is, you have to adjust your talent year to year, but you always want those non-negotiables, so to speak. You know, forming an identity is really, really important, but it's not the easiest thing to do some years, is it?
No, it's because it can change so much, even with just loss of one or two players mm-hmm. can make such a huge change on who you are as a team. And that could make it take a good bit longer to make that adjustment.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shane, anything else? Final thoughts maybe on volleyball?
Well, I think we've given a lot of time. I will say Westfall could take a stranglehold on things here their next two or three matches. Adina Zane Trace going to be head-to-head. I think they're both very, very talented. They're probably the deepest teams. Uniota Law Championship experience, they're certainly right there. See my notes here. I'm happy for the PV program. I talked about that. Mm-hmm. I think Elena Lytle's going to do a good job at Piketon. Just give her time. And then, you know, we know Huntington's dangerous. And here comes Southeastern. Mark that down. Southeastern, we talked about mm-hmm. that. When they get healthy, they get things going. They've moved Cooper a little bit the other night, maybe to a 5-1, maybe freed Lockheed up a little bit. Just give Coach Hutton, Coach Tenado there a couple more matches. And I really think second half of the year, Southeastern's going to be a dangerous team.
All right, guys, up next, we analyze the busiest of all the SVC schedules during the next couple of weeks and look at how it could impact the championship. And this section going to be brought to us by Crown Hill Golf Club, 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport. Phone number 740-986-4653. And you can, of course, look them up on the web at www.crownhillgolfclub.com. Give Kevin and the crew a shout and see what they can do. Still lots of nice warm weather. You can get out there and play some golf. And, of course, remember their facilities up there for holiday parties and whatnot. They are got all kinds of nice facilities up there where you could take advantage of that. Crown Hill Golf Club, again, 740-986-4653. Well, guys, the schedule seems to be getting a little busy for SVC Golf. The final five league matches will happen in just 9 days. Number four is on September 11th at Big Beaver. Number five is at 9-12, September the 12th at Dogwood. Number six is on September the 18th at JC's. 7 and 8 are an 18-hole event on September the 19th at Portsmouth Elks. Nice golf course down there. So, Shane, after reading that schedule, what's all this mean to our SVC golfers?
Well, it's crazy now. You know, we had the one reschedule and so forth, and it really starts to stack up on kids. You hope your preparation's already been done. Off-season preparation becomes important. Coaching becomes important. The one thing I would say there is it's go time for Piketon. I feel like Big Beaver and Dogwood, very similar courses, one obviously being Piketon's home course, this is their chance to go right now. So I would say that my number one thing to look at for fans would be on the 11th and 12th, back-to-back days, Big Beaver, Dogwood. It's Piketon go time.
All right. What else in golf do we need to start looking for?
Well, I mentioned the scoreboard for the individual leaderboard. I think you'll start to see scores get better, a little bit shorter golf courses, a little bit more gettable for kids on down the line there. Mm-hmm. So scores are starting to come up. I tell you, a big headline is to really watch the Westfall girls. We mentioned last week, John, not having a league to play for. Now they're going to start going to the 18-hole stamina where you got to really build the depth, because in the tournament you got to be able to go. We know about Maddie Schultz and Ella Seeley, but it's really going to come down to Elizabeth Hart and the Cooks there, Emily and Maddie and Michaela Bryant. Now, they'll obviously go down to just the five starters in the tournament, but really starting to lock in and catch that second win. They got off to the fast start, the schedule not quite as busy when they get in school. Mm-hmm. And now that they get to postseason, they'll really want to start to build that 18-hole stamina up and be ready to go.
Okay, so let's spread the wealth, the love here a little bit. What about soccer, cross country, or tennis? Do you want to kind of quiz John on here?
Oh, the one cross country thing I'll throw out there is Huntington girls are making some noise. I know Hannah Kerr and Reese Hartsall of Zane Trace have still been good, but really Huntington's consistently beating them. So I think that's one thing that I was not correct on in the preview. Huntington's beating them in spots 3 through 5 in a lot of races. John, and boys, here's one feedback. I just looked down through my notes. Uniota's so dominant that one person asked me, are they destroying SVC cross country? That was the exact right Terminology, because really a lot of the boys' times and scores across the team and individual stats going down. So I don't know. Maybe that's a future thing. But and then as far as tennis goes, yeah, I don't know. I think that Huntington – grads Riley Black and Braden Collins. I don't know if you heard about this, John. They're enjoying some success at OUC. I think nice. Even Gavin Snyder's going to play some of the – for the guys there. But Riley and Braden won their individual in doubles the other day. But I guess for soccer, I want to head back up here and I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about something that's jumping out at me in soccer. I've seen Avery Miller, a couple goals, couple assists. Hannah Addy with a hat trick. Mitten, 4 goals. Chloe Tandler, 4 goals. I'm looking down through the soccer thing here. Vijay there on the boys' side scoring quite a bit. And then some goalies, Free and Dutch. What is it about soccer that is making it so hard to key on particular things? It might just be like another sport in terms of if you're better, you're better, and certain matchups or whatever. Is it the size of the field? Just educate us a little bit on soccer in terms of what makes these kids so elite and what makes it so hard to key on someone and take them away in soccer.
Well, you mentioned the size of the field. I do think the size of the field makes a big difference. It is a massive field. A little bit longer than football field, a little bit wider than football field. 11 on 11, obviously, but you're really playing 10 on 10 in the field with the goalies. So if you are trying to key on a score, you probably need to put, you know, maybe two people on them at once. Because I know a couple years ago when Westfall knocked off Uniota up at Westfall, they put two to three people on Jayla Campbell at all times, and the other kids for Uniota weren't able to score. So I think if you're able to kind of get lucky in that way, it can happen. But like earlier this year, Aaron Callahan for Uniota scores a hat trick, but they also score three other goals. So it's like if Hillsboro would have started keying on Aaron, then they were kind of in trouble because, you know, the other players were able to step up. So I think if you have good teammates, kind of like you mentioned VJ Wangui, he's got.
I wasn't going to try to say that last time. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, he scored in every game for him, but they have different weapons. I mean, you have Cameron DeBoard, and 6'2", just you've seen him in baseball how fast he is, and he's a big kid for soccer. Well, you got to worry about him, and then Ethan Kearns he's dynamite in the midfield. So you got a couple of guys, and that's not even mentioning other teammates. You want to key on VJ, well, these other guys will hurt you too, and they've really started to lately. So I do think it's, you know, if a team's going to key on Chloe Tandler, Mahaley Farmer's going to just go off and she's going to score. You know, with Addie and Mitten, they each have good teammates that can score too. So I think having good teammates makes it more difficult to actually, you know, concentrate on the goal scorers. And I do think, you know, possibly the size of the goal helps. You know, that it's a little different than putting the basketball in a basketball hoop.
Sure.
But at the same time, I've watched matches this year where there's three or four shots where they just kick it right to the goalie. So it's a major skill to be able to put the ball into the back of the net. And I do think that the players are so skilled that it makes it, gives them a greater opportunity to do so. And we're really seeing it throughout the league so far this year.
Well, that's well said. I know Westfall had 8 kids score, I think, the other night in a win. So that kind of goes along with what you're saying. And I know you're going to be up now. By the time the match is played, the podcast show will or the match will already be played when the podcast show comes out. But I know Monday night you're going to be going up to Westfall, right? Uniota Westfall,
yes,
girls.
Westfall.
Free and Dudgeon in goal. That's got to be a key matchup there. Do you expect something a little lower scoring when you go up there tomorrow night? Or
I would think so. Uniota finally got their first shutout on Saturday against a really good Waverly team. It looked like they kind of were putting things together defensively. But, man, with Tandler and Farmer and the kind of the Yates sisters, you know, that's, Westfall's got some pieces that can score. I think the goalkeeping's so good in the game that they can keep their teams in the game. They're both just super athletes. Marcy just committed to Muskingum for
I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Congratulations.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So she's obviously a great athlete, which we've seen through all three sports. And Sydney Free just plays the one sport, but I mean, she's up at Findlay today watching on a visit, and just, you know, these are just outstanding goalkeepers. I know I wish the game was on like Tuesday or Wednesday so I could really hype it up a little bit more and say, hey, get up to Westfall and watch it.
Right.
You're right.
It's kind of tough when it falls on the Monday night. That's why I didn't want to cheat it. I mean, obviously, by the time people listen, it's already going to be played. But I just think it's something that I definitely wanted to give you a chance to talk about, because I knew you and I talked about it the other night a little bit, and you were excited to get up there and see it. So, absolutely. Well, Well, Bruce, if you want to throw out some contact information, we'll get some final thoughts and get on out of here.
Sure will. Yes, you can contact us by leaving a voicemail message on DBK Media Services. 740-569-3254 is the automated answering machine there. You can contact Shane by email, admin1, it's svcsportzone.com. Twitter, he's the handle at SVC Sports Zone, and he tweets with the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. On Facebook, he maintains two profiles, his personal profile, Shane Combs SVC Sports Zone, and the page for the website, svcsportszone.com. Mr. Bruce has his email as jbruce1018@yahoo.com, and of course, his Twitter handle, and we all call him Coconut Wallpapa, just to his face around the studio here anyway. His handle there, at Coconut Wallpapa, and he too uses the hashtag SVC Sports Talk. And we would always kind of like to encourage you to go on to iTunes and leave us a favorable review, a great rating. That really helps us quite a bit in the SEO kind of thing. And we encourage you to tell another SVC sports fan about our podcast and the availability of it, how to get to it, and so forth. You can always go to the DBK Media Services website and look for the episode and click on that and go to an episode post where you have a little media player that you can play it, or you can listen to it on any of the podcatchers that are out there. So that kind of wraps up that part, Shane. Before we call it quits, any final thoughts there on maybe cross country or tennis?
Well, I think we touched on those. I guess I certainly don't want to shut you out here, John. I talk cross country and I talk some tennis there with what Riley and Braden are doing at the college level. That's kind of neat. Anything intelligent you have left to say this week?
That's debatable. I would just say, you know, just seeing, getting out and watching some of these athletes play tennis also is really fun. Yeah. And it's free. It's good because it's kind of like golf. It's an activity you can do throughout your life. So it's really cool seeing these, Huntington grads up at OUC playing on the tennis team and having success. Was, I mean, honestly, if you saw, Riley and Braden play in high school, just athletically, you would think that they could at least possibly pick it up. It's a difficult sport, but
absolutely,
like you shouldn't be surprised with how athletic those two are, that they would have success at whatever they would try to do. And it's I'm really glad you brought that up because I definitely brought a smile to my face.
Well, and with Riley and Braden and Gavin, I think there's just some other Huntington boys that are maybe going to get involved too. I love what you said there about how tennis and golf are things that we can you can play deeper into your life. And it just gives you that – we all get that competitive itch and we'd like to go out and do some things. So I think that is important to grow. And, you know, I mentioned with Lane Ruby earlier, I love what you said about – get out and watch Sylvia Gray. You know what I mean? It's one of those things, right, where, you know, get out. Just if you are a sports fan, just allow yourself one night to go out and watch greatness. You know what I mean? Get a chance to see her play or follow her in the postseason maybe. Same way with golf, with the likes of a Schoblock or, you know, a Schultz or so forth. So fall season, a lot of those sports starting to wind down, even though football – and volleyball, the schedule's still way out there. Keep in mind, some of these other sports get into the postseason a lot quicker. So certainly want to take that opportunity. So, well, guys, I appreciate everything this week. Thank you to the fans. Bruce was telling us last week was our largest listener number ever. Is that correct, Bruce?
Yes, it is.
In the history of our 9 years. So thank you. All the comments, please know that the comments that I'm getting out in the community and on the website, email, are certainly appreciated. And we'll keep on doing these types of things to sell our great kids and our great programs in the Cider Valley Conference, because, you know, on svcsportszone.com, we're always going to keep it 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by svcsportszone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit svcsportszone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.